Did there used to be more light up here? Or have I fallen asleep? I don't know. Ah, there it is. Hey, who did that? Did you do that? Yeah, no, leave it on. That's nice. I forgot what I was going to say. I got so worried about my lights. I was telling you, never take a restraint transfer order. Side rails. Here's one of the dumbest things in the world if you really care about people, guys, and that is folks that have the mattress here. Okay, we have the mattress. That's very nice. And we've got the side rail, and we got it down, and we got it with a little thingy to hold it down, right? What happens to the residents' popliteal space when they sit on the edge of that mattress? Try it. They're right on the metal. That doesn't make a bit of sense. You occlude my popliteal space, arteries, and veins. What's going to happen when I finally stand up? While we're there, I want to talk to you a little bit about bed height. These are all falls interventions, restraint freedom things. Does anybody here have a rule that says when a resident is not in their bed, the bed needs to be in the lowest possible position? Yes or no? Bad rule, bad rule, bad rule. Bad rule. You know why I say that? If they want to transfer back into it and it's too high, they can't, or I mean if it's too low, they got to jump and hope. Do you, therapists, we might be able to ask them to help us with this. The easiest, the best, the simplest falls intervention is no matter where you sit me, I want at least three right angles. My hips, my knees, and my ankles. I get the best shot of some sort of stability if I stand, even if one leg doesn't work very good, if I've got three right angles. Okay? And to prove to you what a mess this actually is, and this is one of the reasons I absolutely abhor wheeled chairs, because they can't do three right angles. Most of them can't, okay, unless I put the pedals on. But you don't mind if they stand up on the pedals, do you? Okay. Everybody back away from the table just a little bit, and I want you to look at your legs, and I want you to look at the legs of all the folks at your table. And I want you to tell me who's in big doo-doo, real potential for falls around here. This is whose feet don't even touch the ground. That would be fun. See? She's going to fall, and she's got a history of falls, and it's a mess. You're okay. Guys sometimes are okay. You're okay. Tall women with long legs. Do you see what I'm looking at? I'm looking at the angle. Coming out of the hip, I'm looking at any kind of an angle. Those of you with angles on your legs, if you want to fall out of that chair, all you got to do is arch your back. Arch your back, and your butt starts to slide. And the minute your butt starts to slide, we go, oh, my God! And then we run, and we put sticky stuff under them. Yeah, let's glue my butt to the chair. That's a good idea. And then let's worry about pressure sores and skin tears. Do you ever sit on a piece of that Dyson or a piece of that? I don't use Dyson. It's too expensive. I go to the store and I buy the under-the-rug stuff. But the only place I put it is between the pillow and the chair so that the pillow doesn't fall off. You put it against, it's terrible stuff. Get them in a chair that's decent to begin with. All righty? Look at the three right angles. Walk and look at the folks in your wheeled chairs. I want you to walk to your beauty shop. And I want you to notice your beauty shop. You're going to have people sitting in their wheeled chairs with their little legs all at an angle like this while they're getting their hair dried. Is that how you guys normally sit? Is it a very uncomfortable chair while you get your hair done? Until we can break it, guys. Until we can break it, you're not going to win. All righty? But it's so easy once you break it. Three right angles. That's why you need to figure out what's the appropriate bed height for this person versus that one versus that one. We spend millions of dollars on high-low beds so we can put them in the lowest position so they're not right. You need to put it so that when I go to transfer, I'm moving from level to level. Well, yeah, but this is not up and it's not down. How am I going to mark it? How am I going to mark it so when they're out of it, we get it at the right height? Don't overthink it, guys. Mark the wall. But when a new resident comes in, now we got 17 marks. It looks like that little kid thing, you know? Duct tape. Electrical tape. Something that can go on and be taken off. Neon tape. I don't care. Somehow identify where this thing is supposed to end up. That's how we show how smart we are. And when people go, how come you got glow tape all over mom's bed? Yeah, you know, great, I'm glad you asked that question. Let me tell you why. Blah, blah, blah. We don't need to buy a smart bed for everyone if indeed we can figure out what's the right height. Most of our little 4'2" residents, their beds need to be a whole lot lower than they are. And I don't mean on the floor. I mean they need to be lower so that they're getting, you know, it's very easy for them to transfer. Chairs are the same thing. Why is it that we bought furniture for many, many of our facilities that's too high for the staff to sit on? What's that about? Where'd that come from? So I say to the maintenance man, get your saw. We're cutting the legs off of this stuff. I do say that, as a matter of fact. I got to find out if the legs will hold once they've been cut. But what is that about? They're way too high. Look at grandma rockers. Are they way up in the sky? No, they're. Do you know what the normal rise on a chair is from the floor to the seat? See, you need to know that. It's about 17 to 18 inches. Some of them get up to 21, depends on how high the chair is, okay, and how long my legs are. But you need to know what's from here to here. Real simple stuff. And now we got back to whoever asked about communication. Absolutely. We got to somehow communicate. Don't you raise it any more than here where this duct tape is. Don't you take it up any higher than that. All righty. Let's see. Where do we want to go now? I showed you all of those things. I got to show you this. What would you say? Let's look at this. See, I'll try to sell this on any level I can sell it. I try to sell it on we love others. I try to sell it on we love ourselves. I try to sell it on, where did it go? The cost of quality. And many times we find ourselves getting very, very involved in very expensive equipment. And maybe it's good for some, but it's usually not the panacea that we think it is. So let's look at the cost of quality, okay? The way I look at it. How many of you are using aromatherapy? I want people to be calm and contented, not just when they get agitated. I want to be able to manage, not control, their behavior. I want to keep them calm and contented like all the time. Alrighty, so what's the cost of an aroma plug-in? $2.99, I don't know. Pretty inexpensive. Alrighty, do you have anybody that likes to watch animal videos? Are you using that with any of your residents? Absolutely. What'd that cost you? $6, you buy it at Walmart on sale. Okay? Nothing if you tape it off of Animal Planet. Okay? Don't run Animal Planet because it's got commercials. They can't, it doesn't make sense to them. But if you know, run the Westminster Dog Show over and over and over. Oh, for heaven's sakes. I know that's not on there. Eukanubis was. What's the cost of a post-fall x-ray? $80, $150? Something you guys pick up, right? Alrighty, well, that's getting a little bit more expensive. Maybe we've been better off with the aromatherapy in the animal video. What's the cost of defense litigation? You get into a lawsuit, you could be 122% right. And how much is it going to cost you? Anybody done it? Minimum $50,000, $100,000. Alrighty. What my whole contention is, if I'm driving it from where the person is, what's the cost of a smile? And that's what I'm going for. I want smiles all over the place. Okay? This thing is either too close or too far away or too something. Okay? It says smiles at the top, and there's all kinds of smiles. And there's my mom and my mother-in-law. They're both in their 90s. They both still live independently. Okay. What's the cost of a smile? What's the cost of a smile? Well, how are you gonna make that smile occur? And let's take my mom. How many of you do, I mentioned this before, but now we're going to get serious. How many of you do pre-admission visits? No one ever comes in your building without you first going to see where they live. Now, is that dumb or what? That makes absolutely no sense to me, guys. Let's try it. Tonight, when you guys go home, I really don't have much of anything to do. And so if one of you wanted me to invite me over for dinner, well, then I'd come to your house, you know, because I love food. And if you were going to invite me over to your house, would you ask me any questions? What do I like to eat? What else would you ask me? Am I allergic to anything? Okay, what else might you ask me? I'm sorry? Do I need a ride? What else would you ask me? What time would I like to come eat? Okay, what else might you ask me? Oh, what do I like to drink? Yes, that would be a good one. Why would you bother asking me one of those questions? Why do you care? You're going to see me for 2 hours, and I am going to be out of your life forever because I'm a guest, okay? You'd go to all that bother. You go, you're allergic to any animals? I have an elephant. I mean, yeah, because you want my 2 hours to be happy. Why then, pray tell, will you take someone into your long-term care facility who is staying there for the rest of their lives, and you've asked none of the true social questions? Oh, you know what's going on with their heart, and you know what's going on with their toes, and you know what's going on with all of them, but you don't know what's going on with them. They're demented, so it's real hard to ask them questions because they can't answer very well anymore for themselves. And their daughter might be in town, but she doesn't live with them. She might be way out of town, so she doesn't have the information either. I did pre-admission visits in 1988. Now, I wasn't as bright as I thought. I used to only go to hospitals. I forgot they had homes. But think about this. Go to their house. What are you going to do? Alrighty? I want to know who they are as a person. I got all the medical stuff. I contend there are about 7 magic questions. Very simple. What do they like to see, smell, taste, touch, and hear? What's their favorite chair, and where have they been sleeping? With that information, you can take pretty darn good care of them for quite a while. But now here's a question I have for you. In truth, I'm not coming to your house. You're coming to mine when you're done today. And I will take care of you the rest of your life. Okay? And I will take care of you based on either your medical needs or your social needs, but I cannot do both. How many of you want me to give you care for the rest of your life based on your little heart problem, but I got a pill for you, and then your knee, I got something for that too, and then the fungus there growing on your toenail? I will give you the best care in the world based on those 3 things. Or I could take you to my house and give you care based on what you like to see, smell, taste, touch, and hear, what's your favorite chair, and where have you been sleeping. But I can't do both. So how many of you would like me to give you medical care over here for your toes and stuff? Hello? How many of you want me to give you care based on see, smell, taste, touch, and hear, where you're sleeping, what's your favorite chair? Pick one. Don't you guys get it? If I only give you care over here, you're going to die. Yeah. So and would be your answer. What is our problem? Now, in truth, we got to do both of these things. But do you capture? Somebody asked me about assessment. Do you know what they like to see, smell, taste, touch, and hear? What's their favorite chair, where they've been sleeping? And 3 stories that will make them smile, as well as 3 stories that will make them mad. If you don't know what makes the residents angry, you're missing an important hunk of assessment. I grew up on a farm. To this day, if someone's driving slowly on the road and I'm in a car with somebody who goes, dumb farmer, the back of my neck, hair starts to crawl. I almost have the ability to contain myself. It's going fast, okay? But can you imagine? I'm going to react just as negatively to that when I'm 92 and confused as I do now. Only you're going to get it, both barrels. What might actually happen is I'll hit you because I can't verbalize anymore why I'm so angry. You need to know what makes them mad. Now, how are we going to use all this junk? Anyway, what are we going to do with it? How can we use see, smell, taste, touch, and hear? Favorite chair, how can we use all this stuff? We've talked a little bit about the 3 stories with Leslie, what made her happy, how we would use that. How can we use the other stuff? Okay, if I came into your house, well, let's do this first. Let's talk about how we would use it. What are you going to do? How are you going to use see, smell, taste, touch, and hear? As falls interventions. Give me something somebody likes to see here. And get wild. You can get as wild as you want to be. Pictures of your children. Would those be pictures of the children as they are today? No. But who's the professional that while you were at the house said to the daughter, where's your mom's pictures of you guys as kids? Where's that professional that took along, you can buy these, but I get them in the mail. They're little plastic, flexible picture holders, right? They want you to give them money and stuff. Well, I never do that part. But I take them. Look, they're wonderful. If I want a tool that I can talk to the resident quickly about, I need one of those little things, and in there are pictures that mean something a whole lot to that person, and I want them to have them in their pocket or in their purse so that no matter whether we're outside, no matter where we are, when the resident starts to get up, I'll go, before you get up, Sam, could I see a picture again of that, of your grand, or your daughter with me? That is a falls intervention you can take to the bank, guys. What happens? The pictures they have are the grandson's latest prom date, and he figured out to take her one day before the prom. That's on grandma's bulletin board, and besides, the bulletin board is up here, and she can't see it because the maintenance man hung it. Okay? We get this together. I was walking down a hall last week in a facility, and this little man is crying, And he said to me, I want to leave. I just got to leave. And I mean, tears are coming down his face. And I know nothing about this man, but I do know one thing already. What is important to him right now? His house. So I said to him, maybe you could go look at your house. And he whispered to me, could I get out the back door? And I said, I bet you could get out the back door. But I said, you know what? Do you know how cold it is today out there? He said, what? And I said, it's 10 below zero. Oh, he said, I don't think I should go. I said, no, I don't either. I said, but tell me about that house of yours. Did it have a neat front door? What color was it? It was like a miracle. He stopped crying. You could watch the wheels begin to turn, and he said, I was a fixer-upper. A lot of times I had a project in midstream and never quite got it done, like the porch. My wife used to get so mad about the porch. And within, I'm not kidding, a minute and a half, we're laughing about the fact that his porch wasn't completed, okay? And we went on down the hall into the facility and grabbed ourselves something to drink. And the hole I want to escape was gone. Will it come back? Sure, but it's a whole lot easier to say, tell me again. And now if I went back to him, I go, tell me about the porch. How long was it before you got those railings up? All righty. It's so easy. People say, oh, that won't work. It works like a charm because people are people. Okay. So I know one of the things he liked to see was his house. We're going to use the pictures of the kids. You guys are the professionals. While you're at the house in the pre-admission visit, get the pictures that are important. Do not wait until the granddaughter brings them in 4 weeks after they're in your building. Okay? You want to build... Dr. Bill Thomas is from, obviously, from your state, from New York. How many of your Eden facilities? Any Eden facilities in here? Okay. That is, he spiels the same stuff I do, treat people as people. That's his whole concept. But God forbid we'd spend $500 to be an Eden facility, right? Too damn expensive. We're not going to do that. We're just going to bring in the birds that go. And then we'll call ourselves an Eden facility. You see, the whole idea of the animals has nothing to do with animals. It has to do with staff empowerment, which is what Bill talks about all the time. If you watch what he's doing now, that's actually what he's done. He almost stops talking about the animals. And he actually talks about staff empowerment, okay? I said to him one day, you know what, Bill? I said, you're making me so darn mad. I said, I have been teaching empowerment as long as I've been teaching, and I've never been on 60 Minutes. And you're on 60 Minutes because you're talking about dogs, kids, and cats, and plants. He said, they sell, Diana. I went, yeah, right, well, whatever. Okay. All right. But his whole concept is to figure out, you know, what does their life look like and how can I emulate it when I've got him here in the facility. And one of the things he said that I loved, he said, you go to a cocktail party, and you're sitting around the cocktail party, you know, and everything's going fine, nice. And there's people you don't know there, and they say to you, hey, what do you do for a living? And you go, work in a long term. They go, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. What do you do for a living? I'm a nurse. Okay. He said, when someone asks you what you do for a living, he said, pull yourself up as big as you can get yourself and say to them, I build worlds. And don't you? You take a little postage stamp section of a room and build my mother's world from the time you get her until the time she dies. That's pretty powerful stuff. And if you're going to build a world, then you need to know who my mom is so that the world fits. Okay? I just loved it when he said that. I went, I got it. I do build worlds. That's what I'm about. I don't cram them into my world. I build theirs. Alrighty? I love it. What about smell? What do people like to smell? How could we ever use that? Chocolate chip cookies. Now, how can we do that? We only make chocolate chip cookies every third Wednesday. You know, I'm sorry, but we really don't have enough money to buy enough chocolate chips. We got air fresheners. We got Yankee Peddler, whatever that, Yankee candles. If you really want a candle that'll knock you over, use Swan Creek candles. They're out of Ohio. Yeah. Wait a minute. I got to ask a question. Were you intending to light that candle?
Yes.
Now, that is just ridiculous. Oh, good. She's got to have a lit candle and her own mattress. Okay. Can we light her candle in our building? Why not? Oh, stop. You can light it. You got the little open fires underneath your food stuff. How come you can't light her candle? Go with me. Why can't you light her candle? You can, but you can't light it and hand it to her. And go, here, watch this thing, okay? If it falls over, be careful. She's demented. So I can, you know what? I bet I can take her and five other people that like chocolate chip cookies, and we're going to put them in the lounge after they go to the bathroom and have coffee right after dinner. And we're going to light that candle, and our resident assistant, or our lounge lizard, whichever we ought to call him, is going to talk about chocolate chip cookies. This is a false intervention. Okay? It's also behavior management. It's also customer service. It's also marketing. I mean, it's like cool stuff. All righty? Give me something. Try to stump me. Give me something that you like to smell that there is nothing I could do about in the nursing home. Can't think of it. I can get there somehow. Let's try something different. What do you like to see, smell, taste? We do a lot, or so we act like we do a lot with taste. What are your favorites? And 16 of us ask them the same thing because we don't trust each other's assessments. Someday we'll get together and talk about that. So we got broccoli. I hate broccoli. I love broccoli because they're demented, for heaven's sakes. But the problem goes like this. Okay? The problem goes like this. Be careful what you ask them, because if you don't serve it, okay, you're in trouble. So if you want to say, these are the kinds of meats we serve, what's your mom's favorite, I can deal with it. Are you with me? But we go, what do you like? And they go, lobster. And we go, that's hysterical. All right, okay. Think about when we get there. I was talking at the table with some folks over lunch about a variety of different kinds of diets. What are we going to do with us when we get there? We got the Atkins. We got the low fat. We got the high carb. We got the holy moly. I'm not being funny. We also have, you know, hopefully they'll want their bed and their diet. See, smell, taste, touch. Touch is probably one of the most important and most neglected senses we've got. What do, anybody here, what do you like to touch? Somebody give me something. Something soft like, soft and furry. I'm telling you, I want my mattress and my dogs. How many of you allow residents, demented residents, to have their pets? Thank God. Where are you from? I'm coming over there. Okay? Isn't that funny? We know the theory, not the theory, we know it's been proven. Animals reduce pain. Animals reduce blood pressure. Animals reduce anxiety. Animals reduce, and yet we take somebody who's in the last throes of their life and go, Jesus, we have no dogs in here. Get that dog out of here. I was talking to a friend of mine, actually a friend of mine, and they have a rule that you can bring your dog in as long as you can care for it. And I said, that's cool. As soon as I really need it, I'll lose it. Okay? Now, administrators, wake up again. How many of you, you know, we're always trying to figure out how to keep the staff here. Okay? How many of you have a pet care business on the side? All right. Sure, everybody can bring their dog. We've got one employee that takes care of the animals. Okay, if they want to sleep with the resident, that's fine, but then we've got somebody who takes them out. Think about it. You want to do a little something different than the rest of the world? Everybody, like Eden uses the facility animals, but what happened with Eden is because we got confused and we didn't realize it was about empowerment. So we went out and got a puppy. That's an intelligent thing to bring into a facility. They're incontinent. They'll ruin our QMs is what's going to happen. I can tell it right now. If you bring in a dog, you need to put it through some paces. There actually are assessments. What to do? I had a friend of mine called, and she said, do you have an assessment for bringing a cat in the facility? I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do, you know. And what you're looking for is freeze, flight, or fight. Those are the three responses, and what you want them to do is to stop or go away. Don't bite, okay? And you pull their tail and see how there's a whole big thing that's been set up. And I said, why, what's the problem? Well, she said this resident had a cat, and she died. So now we got the cat, and last week the cat bit two residents and one staff member, and I was wondering if you had a test. I said, it goes like this, get rid of the cat. It's the wrong cat, okay? Because we, again, we think if we can just buy something without doing any work, it's going to work fine. Touch. What about Afghans? What about yarns? Is there anybody who has made yourself or had someone made you one of those new eyelash yarn scarves for winter? Oh, my God. They are so soft. Karen, the girl from here, has one. It's they're just so soft. Okay. You want me to be happy? Surround me with stuff I like to touch. What's one of the things they like to touch that we don't like to talk about? Themselves or other humans? Okay? And what happens is they put their arm around somebody and they go, watch that guy! Oh, come on. You know, gee, many Christmas. He watched the Super Bowl and he saw the Viagra commercial. So, but we think everything has sexual innuendos. There actually is people-to-people warmth. Okay, they love to be touched. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. You know, there's heart-rendering poems about hugs. All right. Yeah, they want to touch. See, smell, taste, touch, and hear. Probably one of the easiest to work with. Okay, I met a new friend back here, my friend named Bob, and he was talking about the use of music therapeutically. So how many of you guys use music therapeutically? Not the way he uses it. He's got some neat stuff. Stop him and talk to him. But how do you use music therapeutically? Yeah, see, it's awful quiet in here. The residents, there are some that like, not a lot. But that's what I see on the TV. I see MTV playing. That's unconscionable. That's unacceptable. How do you know what is each resident's favorite music? They're demented. They'll respond, but that's trial and error. Why don't we do this? During the pre-admission visit, what should you look at? Their records. What else should you look at? Their radio stations. And you have that in the care plan, don't you? Don't you? Shake your head. Yes, the surveyor's still here. Yes. Okay. You write that stuff all down. Do you see where I'm going with this? The more knowledge you have, the more powerful you look. When somebody says, are you doing anything for this person? You're going, we're trying as best we can. Okay? Now, I am not a mathematician, and so if I'm wrong, just ignore me. But I asked mathematicians, and this is what they told me. If I take see, smell, taste, touch, and hear, and I get two answers to each one of those, plus the favorite chair, if I came into your house, how long would it take me to identify your favorite chair? Assume for a second you live alone. It would be the most pristine chair in your house, wouldn't it? It would have no stains, no wrinkles, no stain from hair glue or glue. Oil, right? It'd be an ugly looking chair, man, because it's comfortable. That's why. And of course, what you're going to do while you're on the pre-admission visit is you got yourself this big box and you're gathering up. You got their Afghan and you got the pictures of the kids when they were young. You're gathering up all this stuff, the see, smell, taste, touch, and hear stuff. You marked down the radio station. You picked up the tape recorder. Okay? You picked up the three records that their mother said or their daughter said she used until they got so worn you could hardly hear them. You got to record those off. We got all this stuff picked up. Alrighty. And you look over and you see this chair. And you call the facility and went, send the truck. We need to get this chair there before they arrive. No, we let them arrive. We put them in a bed that's smaller than God intended beds to be, and then the problems start to occur for us. Alrighty? Favorite chair, very easy to work with. Has cockroaches in it? Squirt it with something. All right. We had one. Well, I want to talk about that. Okay. Oh, they fell in the nurse's purse, and she took them. Oh, my God, what a mess. Okay. How about this one? Where are they sleeping? Your hypothesis would be, where are those folks sleeping before they went to the hospital after they busted their hip or got caught outside and got exposure? Where were they sleeping at home? They weren't sleeping in a bed. They were sleeping in a chair, or they were sleeping on a couch. Can you tell me why then you make them sleep on a little bitty bed at your place? Tell me why they sleep in a bed or in a chair. It's easier to get in and out. What else? Breathing. These people have CHF. If we're going to play this medically, for God's sakes, play it medically. They got CHF, and until you get the CHF under control, they can't sleep lying down. So we bring them in, lay them down, and then they immediately try to right themselves and end up falling out of bed. Then we put up the side rails, and then the whole thing starts. Okay? COPDers, they cannot sleep lying down. It just doesn't work for them. The other reason they don't go to bed is because they only sleep a few hours at a time. Okay? And I'm closer to the phone, I'm closer to the bathroom, and I'm closer to the TV in case I get bored when I wake up. And to tell you the real truth, I haven't changed clothes now for 6 months because it takes so much energy. Okay? So I'm going to just stay here in my clothes. Now, if that's your mother who's doing that, how willing are you to tell a nursing home that you've been neglecting her like that? That's how you're afraid it's going to be seen, right? So you say to me, where's your mom sleep? I'm going to bed. Why? Don't play that game with me. Go in the house and walk in the bedroom. And you know as well as I do, in the bedroom, on the bed, are all the gifts that they've received for the last 15, 20 years. They're still in their boxes. They even have a little seal. They broke it, but they put it right back together nicely. Right? So you don't need to go, ha, 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 your mom's not sleeping in the bed, and we're going to put her in a real little one. We don't have to say any of that. You say, I can see your mother's either sleeping. What do you think, on the couch or on the chair? What do you think works best for her? Why do couches work? Don't make any sense. They're narrower than the bed I'm talking about. Why do couches work? Any of you ever take a nap on a couch? What's different about it? You got a back, so you've got two planes of your body touching. Okay, so from an identification point, this side of me and this side of me. And if I'm really good and I lay on my side, I can coil my fingers over that edge. So now I've got, do you see where I'm going with this? I'm in control of this. And besides, if I fall off of a couch, they're short. My grandfather fell out of the bed probably once or twice a week, because the bull was chasing him. He had terrible, terrible nightmares, and he was a farmer too, and he kept falling out of the bed, so we just kept moving the bed. It was wide enough, but he was running from the cow. Okay? He's not going to quit falling out just because he comes to live with you guys. Do you see what I'm talking about, a pre-admission visit? What information, how fast you can pick that up. I don't know if I told you, when my mother broke up housekeeping, I had given her a picnic basket many, 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 many years ago. And I had noticed the picnic basket sat next to her chair. My father died. She's been alone for like 25 years. And here sat this picnic basket. And she's breaking up housekeeping, and she said to me, would you like that? Well, sure. I said, what's in it? I opened it up. Now, I want you to listen with your new falls intervention ear. You're out there, and you open this thing up, and you find what I found. It is full of recipes that she has clipped out of magazines, newspapers, flyers, and she has them categorized in old envelopes. Don't you dare use a new envelope for this. You take an old envelope and you scratch off the who it was to, okay? And then you put the things in here, and then on the inside you write salads, main dishes. What falls intervention did you just hear? Give her magazines and scissors. If you're real lazy, you don't even have to bother with that. Take the recipes that she's already cut out and at. They can fall down and they need to be resorted. We make it too hard. It's like the bubble wrap, okay? Now, here's my problem, guys. My nursing colleagues, please, 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 if I ask her to resort the recipes, do I expect she will ever get the project even started or completed? I need that to be a loud no, okay? My nursing colleagues are looking for product. What I am trying to sell you is process. I don't care if she ever gets anything. This was so funny. She was having some dementia at one point, and she was living with us. And she loves pictures. I mean, this woman is a fanatic about pictures. She took a lot of pictures. She, you know, goes back over pictures. She lives in California. She'll call me and bring up a picture that she saw 3 years ago. I mean, she just really loves pictures. So I thought, well, I know, I got all these boxes of pictures I mean to put in albums, and I ain't quite got it done. So I thought, well, I'll ask her. And she works very slowly. That took us probably 6 months. But I was very comfortable because I knew she was sitting quietly. She was doing that. I felt I could manage. Are you with me? I could manage her behavior. I could even be gone for part of the day because I knew her behavior well enough. Okay. So everything was fine. So I thought, I got it figured out. I went to my friends at work, and I said, hey, anybody got pictures that need to go in albums? I'll ask my mom if she would put those in for you. So my one friend Sue said, yeah, here's a bunch of stuff. Take it with you. And this is why I'm telling you this story. It's very important that you hook into where the resident is. Okay? And I made the assumption that mother just liked the process of putting the pictures in the thing. So I thought, I got it made, man. This is like asking the person who never folded linen to fold linen. All right. So I took all of Sue's stuff. And Sue had bought the albums. And we're all pretty. Mother's all excited. She's got this new project to do. And I say to her, you've met Sue. Oh, yes, she said, I remember Sue. That lasted as long as remember to use a call light. And I said, so just put her pictures in here. She'll be so happy. I came home the first day. She hadn't done a thing. She still got it all in her lap, and she's looking at them all. I said, how's it going? Well, she said, I have a little question for you. And I said, what's that? She takes the whole pile and starts at the top. And she went, now who is this? and who is this? And she went, well, it was so cute. Because I'd over or underestimated, I'm not sure which way to say that. Okay, she knew that she didn't recognize them. And she wanted to know who they were before she put the pictures in. Go with where they come from. See, smell, taste, touch, and hear, favorite chair, and where they've been sleeping. All right. Let's do it from a money standpoint. We haven't got enough money. Well, this is just insanity. Send an employee out to someone's home? Diana, you don't get it. We've got to get this census up, and we need to do it now. All righty? I don't have time to send people out. And besides, you told me they had to go out, and they had to do all this, and the person was in the hospital. So let's do this. What's your normal marketing radius? You guys know? 50 miles? 50 sounds good. I can do math. I can't do math very good. So if it's 50 miles, okay, let's assume it takes me about an hour to get there. You're going to pay some staff member, portal to portal, on call, to do pre-admission visits. An hour out, an hour at the hospital. This person happened to be in the hospital. An hour at their house, and an hour driving back. That's 4 hours. And we probably want to send an RN, don't we? And don't your RNs around here make about 30 bucks an hour? I know that. It's true. Okay. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to double this. I'm going to pay 60 bucks an hour, portal to portal. So for this RN, I will pay $240 for her to gather up this information. Maybe I didn't need to send a nurse. How about if I send a social worker? What do your social workers make? About 20 bucks an hour? That's right. Times four. She was in the hospital with repetitive congestive heart failure, so the social worker could gather up that information. 20 times two, I'm not going to give them twice, is 40 bucks an hour. Times four is $160. Yeah, that's a lot to spend. And in truth, this lady really, the reason we're getting her, she'd wandered away from home. I mean, it wasn't cold or anything, and she doesn't have any frostbite or anything. She's just got an elopement problem, and so we're going to bring her over here. Who could make the visit to the house? Who could make the visit to the house to find out see, smell, taste, touch, and hear, where she'd been sleeping, and what's her favorite? Anybody. So I'm going to send the maintenance man, okay? And our maintenance guy, he makes about 15 bucks an hour, right? So I'm going to double that for him. He's going to make... 3 times 30, he's going to make 90 bucks. Don't tell me you cannot afford $90 to get the information that will set you instead for so many interventions you cannot even use them. What they tell me is if you do 5 interventions times 2 plus favorite chair, the permutations is more than 1,000. One of the problems we have, it's the Ani music alone. No, the Ani music and the Afghan. No, the Ani music and then 10 minutes later, the Afghan. No. The Afghan, the chocolate chip, no. Are you with me? That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not playing games. Surveyors, one of the ways they get weird with us is they say, what have you tried? And what do we tell them? We give them a finite list. We tried alarms. We tried mattresses. We tried, but there's only about 10 things we can try until we're done with external things. Right? And then the surveyor goes, what are you going to try next? And you go, I can't think of anything. And they start writing. Okay? You go with this. And you can say, we've tried 642 different interventions. Next week, we're going to start on 643. We've got up to about a little over 1,000 to do. I'm not being funny. That's like a real number. All righty? Never again do you need to say, well, I can't think of what to do. Probably the very best restraint falls intervention I ever saw in my life was a nursing assistant came up with this. We had a resident, well, I'll tell you, I was partially responsible for this. We had a resident that was always and forever falling because she was trying to find the car keys. Her father had told her, don't you ever lose the car keys. So she's leaning over to trying to find the car keys, and she's falling on her head. She's in a wheelchair. This is in the old days when I didn't quite get that piece, okay? And so she's getting very agitated, can't find these car keys. And I'll tell you the truth, this is why I make the kind of money I make. I walked in and I said, I would recommend that we get her... Oh, You guys knew it too, huh? Well, all right, fine. Car keys. And why do we put them in a purse? And she will ask everybody that goes down the hall, I can't find the car keys. And we'll teach everybody to say, check the front pocket of that purse. Oh, I'm so glad you found them. Less than 3, 4, 5, 10 seconds. And we're on. Okay? We've got enough staff. Are you hearing where I'm going with this? If you use my approach to falls management, you just doubled, possibly tripled the people involved. True or false? You picked up everybody who walks the building. We got the receptionist. We got everybody. We got the people down in medical records. If they're a human being, they can be involved in social aspect stuff. All right. And it was working pretty good. We were walking and go check the place, and she kept forgetting where they were. We kept telling her where they were. And that was pretty good. But a nursing assistant was the real smarty pants here. This lady had a white sweater, and it was a very, very, very important white sweater to her, and it was not acceptable that that sweater touch the ground. So what the nursing assistant did was she picked up the purse, laid the sweater over the lady's lap, and put the purse on top of it. When the lady wanted to get up, she would gather all this and go, you here, can you hold this stuff for me? I got to get up. And isn't that what I wanted to know? I didn't need alarms. I didn't need lap buddies. I didn't need self-release seatbelts that she couldn't. I needed a white sweater. How many of you have ever used a Bible as a falls intervention? Works like a charm, guys. Because there's an old, old thing that I learned long years ago. Don't you dare drop that book. Okay? Don't drop it. It's a very important book. Now, as long as we're going to use the book and we're going to put it on their lap, guess what else we're going to do? We're going to put together a spiritual restorative program, aren't we? That's capturable, maybe. And that's how this one goes. And I say this because it's a falls intervention as well as a possible money income source. All right? We have tabbed in their Bible their favorite passages. Okay, we got John 3:16 written on one, and we got Romans 2. I mean, we got all the things that they like. And we've identified that either by looking at their Bible and what were the pages that were bent over. Okay? We did that when we went to the house and we talked to their daughter. We talked to the minister. Sure, we did. We got all this information. Okay. So we got it on their lap. And we've taught everyone in the facility, as you walk by them, you stop. Don't make them have to make you stop. You stop and go, Sue, I know you've got some passages that you just love in the Bible. There, it's on your lap. Could we read one of those maybe? Would that be okay? If she can read it, that's fine. If she can't, we can open up and I'll read it. How long will that take me? Don't make a big passage, okay? How long will that take me? Minute? Let's do a minute and a half. How many people at a minute and a half need to stop over a 24-hour period before I've got myself a restorative program? 10. You need 15 minutes. 10 people go by her in one shift. Are you with me? But what is going to happen? Not only will I increase the money, what's happened with her? She doesn't have to worry about getting my attention. She knows that I'm going to stop and ask her questions about something that she loves to talk about. And it's not poop and pee. Okay? It's not. Bibles are extremely powerful. Any kind of religious icons. How many of you have reorganizing your jewelry as a falls intervention? Restorative program. Take a look at me, guys. If I came into the facility, what do you think I like? We had one lady, and most of the times, a lot of times the family will bring these things, but because we put them in their drawer in the room, we don't use them. And because we think they can't remember. So we went in her room, and her room was just full of religious icons and lots of jewelry. So we got her jewelry, we put her in a comfortable chair, we put her at a regular table, that's a breakthrough. We gave her something to drink, and we gave her jewelry. And we said, you know, it's a little bit mixed up here, like the purples with the pink, and would you like to sort that out? Do you have time to work on that right now? It was so heartwarming because she loved her jewelry but didn't know where it was, right? How many of you have put stuff away and then you finally go, oh, wow, and you're so excited, okay? That's kind of how the portal of dementia's person's whole day goes, okay? She found these necklaces and she would go, this is my favorite purple one, which gave the staff a chance to go, that is gorgeous. Thanks for sharing. And they're on their way. We keep saying, how many of you, oh, don't tell me I can't handle it. How many of you have one-on-one as an intervention in the care plan? Scratch it out before the surveyor sees it. One-on-one doesn't make a bit of sense. You haven't got time to do it. One-on-one what? Spitting contest? I don't know what you want me to do. What are you going to do? One-on-one. One of the things that makes me just cry is inactivities. How many activities people do I have in here? Any activities people? Okay. One of the things that makes me cry is activity says we'll stop once a week and do one-on-one touch therapy. What do I do the rest of the time? I was busy my whole life. Activities people's job is not to make everything happen for me. It's to figure out what should happen for me. And guess what? Activities, and what, by that I mean lifetime activities, I do not mean bingo, is a responsibility of everybody on the staff. Okay? I've mentioned brain-stimulating activities several times. I want to talk to you about that in just a few seconds. Ready? Yeah. Make my life worth getting up for. All right. I want to talk to you a little bit. I mentioned earlier today getting... Are there any iPro people in the room? These are my videos. I'm not supposed to tell you that, but these are my videos. It's me in there. It's me in this box. Me in this box. If you want to talk to me at break. There's some of my brochures and propaganda about me is here also. You're not allowed to make an ad. Okay. I'm pretty compliant. We had a lady that was falling all the time. Okay? Fall. So we tried to get her involved in activities. So we took her down to scrapbook making. And she was pretty excited about it. Lasted about 2 minutes. She threw everything on the floor. She said, I pay $46,000 a year to live here. And that was true. I'm not making a scrapbook. I don't want to. I'm an Eden associate. So I thought, I know what the problem is. She feels helpless. That's it. And the way Bill Thomas defines helplessness is the feeling you get when all you do is receive help and never give it again. Think about that, guys, as people who are service providers. What's your life going to be like when nobody needs you anymore? Okay? Anyway, so I thought, oh, I got it. So I said to her, do you have time to help us with our newsletter? We need to put a page in here. Could you help us with that? She said, I'd love to. She got so excited. She had her hair done. She got her new outfit on. I mean, she was all excited. She came down to the conference room, and I said, here's what I need you to do. I just need you to take this one piece of paper and stick it right there, okay? That's all I need you to do. Oh, yes, she said. And she starts, and she worked and she worked, and she got about two of them done. She threw it on the floor. She said, you want your newsletter done? Do it yourself. I thought, man, you know, I'm feeling really bad because I think I'm so cool and I'm not doing anything that's beneficial for her at all. I'd heard about a clock test, a thing called a clock test. And this is not the clock test that has been talked about by Pfizer. Pfizer has been saying to neurologists for a long time, ask your customers, your patients, to draw a clock from memory. And if they can't, they have Alzheimer's and might be able to benefit from Aricept. I think it was all one sentence. I'm not sure. That's not this. Okay? This lady is actually an artist. That's how she got started. And she began watching children, how children learn. And then as she got involved in the elderly, she began to do some research to look at how you lose knowledge. Okay? Okay, well, whatever. Sounded like a lot of hocus pocus to me. I thought it didn't make so much sense, but what the heck. And this is actually the test itself. And you ask them to draw this thing here. Well, how hard can that be? I mean, it's right here. Just draw it right here. Okay? Okay. So, we take it to this lady. I need a darker marker for this one. We take it to this lady and ask her, you know, could you help us? We got to draw these pictures. I don't know. Can you help us draw these pictures? Oh, yes, she said, I can do that. So she took this picture. Okay. Uh-oh, we're running out of paper. She took this picture, and while she looked at it, she drew this. There's some prompts in here. We said, you got both circles? Yep. Got all the numbers? Yep. I mean, she's very prideful of this product while she looked at this. Whew. Nurses, medicalize this. What's the first thing you realize when you see this? She's got left-sided neglect. She's had a bunch of little TIAs, but they are so small. And they've not affected her speech, and they've not affected her mobility. There is no way we'd have picked this up. She talks just as fine as she always talks. As a matter of fact, this particular test works really good with people who are losing weight. Oftentimes what you find is it's left-sided neglect. They're eating everything over here. Don't even see the other half of food. Okay? Alrighty, that's what this is about. So if I want to medicalize it, I learned something there. The second thing is, this has actually got a name. It's called perseveration. It's a symptom of the progression of the disease. You hear it. What do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do now? What, they get stuck in a groove kind of thing? Alrighty, but here's the thing that knocked me right on the floor. She had lost the ability to put one thing inside of another. What am I asking her to do? The one thing she can't do. That's nasty of me. Why am I trying to overdrive her? It would be like saying to you guys, everybody take out a piece of paper, I want you to write Einstein's theory of relativity and give me three reasons why it's no good. I don't know about you, but I can't do it. And I would feel like a failure. How would you like to get up and go to work? Well, how would you like to get up? Maybe it's the same thing. How would you like to get up every day knowing that no matter what you touched, you'd fail? And that's what we do to demented residents. We don't know their level of dementia. Okay? This lady actually comes out at 4.7 years of age. Okay? That is her ability to manage the world, to understand it, to respond to it. Her verbiage is 84 years old. Are you with me? I'm not doing this newsletter, do it yourself. That's 84 years worth of knowledge that gives her that verbal skill. But her actual ability to deal with the world was at about a 4.5-year-old. If I told you you had an entire facility full of 4-year-olds, would you treat them the way you treat the residents now? Yes or no? Hello, it's your turn. If I told you you had 25 5-year-old, would you use restraints on them? Would you leave them sit for 2 hours? I don't know how we care for people without this information. The Allen battery I mentioned earlier does the same thing, uses some different techniques, but it actually, Allen battery will give you from like 2 months old to 12 years old. This gives you from about 4.5 to 8. Dynamite information. Dynamite information in lots of ways. One, a 4.5-year-old has skills, right? Sure, I can play to the skills, man. But what happens is when I ask a 4.5-year-old to do what they don't like to do, what'll they do? Leave. If I said to you, nobody leaves this room until you got the Einstein's theory done, you'd have to go to the bathroom. You'd think of 50,000 reasons to get out of this room. Because you're never going to succeed. You can't handle it. My little granddaughter, I told you she's 7. About 3 or 4 months ago, I said, how are you doing with this reading thing? Well, she said, it's work. And I said, well, I know that. I said, can you read this? And I showed her something. She went, I haven't learned that part yet. I mean, she's okay with it. Are you with me? Because she's been taught it's okay to say that. When you're 84, can you go, I can't read this anymore? Oops, no. Because I've learned socially I shouldn't do that. All right. Several other ways to use this. Once I know the function of the age of a 5-year-old, how many of you would take a 5-year-old, put them on the edge of one of your busy highways here around Albany, and say to them, honey, you can play here for 2 hours, just don't go in the street? What would the child say to you? Okay. Because it's a processing issue. They don't get it that in 10 minutes they're going to see a dog across the street. Are you with me? It's the same thing with our residents. To say to a 5-year-old, if you need help, bring this thing that doesn't work. Okay? It helps us understand. It's my hope that with this knowledge we can do something with my colleagues, the nurses, and get them on board. Okay? Because most of our nurses do have children. They did live through the 5-year-olds, the 4-year-olds, the 8-year-olds. They know how they dealt with those people. And people go, oh, no, call them kids. I don't treat children badly, so I don't understand why, if I'm leveling it. I'm not talking like this. I don't mean that. Okay, but I want to level where they're at. How many of you have assisted living on your campus? Did I ask you that question? Some of you do. This is a wonderful tool to help determine at what point are we going to move from one housing facility to another. I'm not suggesting there's any particular number, but you can make that decision. How many of you have Alzheimer's units? Okay? This is a wonderful tool to take people in and to bring people out. How many of you have had an ongoing battle with a family because you put mom in the Alzheimer's unit 1.5 years ago, she is now essentially comatose, and you say, we need to move her out? And they go, no, please. Please don't move her out. Why? Because we called it a special care unit. What's the rest of the stuff? Crap. Yes! I want to show you something else. I mentioned to you that I love the MDS. Do this. Never believe a thing I say. You got to go back and check it out. Look at B2A. Now, MDS nurses, do I have any MDS nurses in here? Okay? Now, everybody knows this because obviously the MDS nurses bring this to you at the QA meetings and those kind of things. B, the section B looks at cognition, very good. And 2A is short-term memory loss, all right? So you said to the MDS nurse, can you run me a report showing B2A equals yes and or B4 greater than zero? What's B4? Guys, it's a document that you tell the federal government. You need to know what's on it. B4 is problems making decisions, and zero is no, and the rest of them are yes somehow. Okay? If I can give you a list of residents who have short-term memory loss and problems making decisions, what have you got de facto? You got dementia. You got some kind of cognitive loss. I'm going to challenge you. Go home and run this report. And any computer that won't run this, it's going to be a facility-defined report. But I know you've been working on those all along. So tell the computer, give me these two things. What is your hypothesis in your own building, what this number will be? Of your 100% of your residents, how many will trigger in one and or both of those? Usually it's upwards of 95%. Try it on your own, okay? Now I have a question for you. If it's 85, I heard that number. If it's 95, how many folks do you have in your special care unit? All of them? All of them? All of the people that are demented are in your special care unit, aren't they? Why do we do this? We, again, don't look as bright as we should be. If I have a special care unit, it should be for the folks with a particular kind of problem. But when you get too bad for that, then you get turned out into the wilds over here. I suggest we take our special care units and we build them for about 8 people and we put the alert folks in there. I'm real serious. The rest of the residents are demented. And I don't give a darn if you work in the special care unit or not. If you're a nurse, you're dealing with demented folks, or at least you need to know if you are or are not. Okay? And now we go back to the hydration. Tell me the logic of putting water pitchers at the bedsides of people who don't even remember where their room is. See, we've got the support. We're okay. We can do this. All righty? Now, a question for you. How many of you are doing the MMSE, mini mental? How many in your facilities do the mini mental? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It's a waste of time. You know what the mini mental was? It was originally created for use in psychiatrically ill folks to see if there was any trace of dementia. Tell me what the value is. Those of you who do MMSEs, what happens when you take that number to the care plan meeting? How do you use that 21 in planning care? It means nothing. So you're wasting time. We're an industry that wastes an enormous amount of time. You do this and go in and say, I'm telling you, she functions at the age of about a six-year-old. And six-year-olds can do the following things. They can sort. They can stack. They can be left alone for 4 minutes at a time. Okay? Yeah. We can begin to use it. Stop wasting time. The MMSE is not what you need. We already know these folks are demented because the reason they're coming to us is they put the cat in the microwave. Okay? So I already know they're demented. We waste an enormous amount of time gathering data for I can't figure out why. And then beat our chest that we haven't got enough time to do our work. I think we got plenty of time to do our work if we made every piece of it be beneficial. I can't tell you how much I believe in either one of these tests. Because does it give you something to set your feet on, man? Wow. Does it support why you've given them a stuffed animal to hold? Of course. Because when the surveyor says, is that age appropriate? You'll say, are you talking about their chronological age or were you speaking of their functional age? You say that. Right. Okay, and you say, you know, I thought the same thing, but chronologically she's 84. But I'm telling you, functionally, she likes the doll, she likes the teddy bear, it makes her happy. Alrighty. Yeah, I got to tell you, I'll give you a break in a second here. But I had I was in a facility walking down the hall, and this poor little lady is standing up with her seatbelt hanging on her butt because she's got a seatbelt, or with her wheelchair hanging on her butt. And she's standing up trying to look out the window. So I walked over to her. She's standing up, and she's got the wheelchair hanging on her butt, and she's looking out the window. And she has a doll baby that she's laid on the windowsill. And so we go over and we talk to her and she doesn't talk to us. And we talk to her and she doesn't talk to us. I got a supervisor with me. And I said, is she pretty aphasic? Is that what's the matter? She looked at her and she went, oh, she hasn't got her hearing aids in. It's 10:30 in the morning. Lady's already lived how many hours in that day without being able to hear a thing. So the supervisor turns and says to the nurses, make sure she's got her hearing aids, okay? And I said, tell me why you got her strapped in this chair. Oh, well, she's liable to fall. I said, she does pretty well holding the seatbelt or holding the chair in her butt. I mean, she's got skill I'm not sure I got. Okay? Well, they said, there's nothing else we can do. I said, why is she in this chair? That's because she can't walk. I said, wrong answer. She's sitting in the chair. Remember my whole wheelchair thing? I said, there's other people over getting their fingernails done. They're sitting in regular chairs. How come she can't sit over there? Well, I don't think she'd stay. You never tried. All right? So we took her over and we sat her down in a regular chair. And I sat down next to her. And since she doesn't have her hearing aids in, I sat in front of her and I said to her, your doll is beautiful. And I touched the doll of her, the head of her doll. And she smiled and she patted my hand. Okay? It was about 1:30 in the afternoon. I ended up back on the same unit. The lady is in the same chair holding the same doll without the same hearing aids from early in the day. So I walked in. I'm telling you, my time with this lady was as long as I told you. Okay? She doesn't know me. I'm a stranger in the place. She saw me. Her face lit up and she motioned for me to come over. I went over and I sat down next to her and she took my hand and she put my finger in the doll baby's hand. Okay? It doesn't take much to touch their hearts, guys. It doesn't take much. But I was so pissed. I got up and I went over to the nurse and I said, where's her hearing aids? Well, I don't know. Maybe the family took them home. Like, maybe I don't know, you know? And I said, did you call the family? No, I didn't call the family. I said, why don't you call the family while I'm standing here? And the one nurse went to pick up the phone and the other one went, just a second, okay? Walked in the back room and walked out with the hearing aids. Okay? I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. Okay? With hearing aids and that doll baby, I would lean on. Are you with me? I would lean on. And she liked me, not because I did anything phenomenal other